Last fall, the Harvard Public Opinion Project found that nearly 40% of young Americans believed that political violence was acceptable under certain circumstances. In a story following the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Association dinner on Saturday night, our reporters have sought to understand why. Some polling data offers context. The spring 2026 Yale Youth Poll, conducted in March, found that 68% of voters aged 18 to 22 and 72% of voters aged 23 to 29 disapproved of Donald Trump's performance as president. Their chief concerns include affordability and corruption. A study of generational divides in American political views by Johns Hopkins University, published in February, points to a possible correlation. Younger generations have really only experienced a political system characterized by intense polarization and dysfunction, said Sophia Winner, the lead author at the report's launch. That experience contributes to cynicism and a sense that democracy is not delivering for them. It's Tuesday, April 28th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. India signed a free trade deal with New Zealand. The agreement is India's latest trade agreement this year as nations rethink economic ties with an increasingly protectionist United States and seek to reduce China's economic hegemony. In January, India signed a blockbuster with the European Union to nearly eliminate mutual tariffs. Monday's agreement eliminates duties on India's imports to New Zealand. In turn, India will eliminate 95% of its duties on imports from the island nation. Strong, reliable partnerships matter more than ever before, said New Zealand Trade and Investment Minister Todd McClay. The United States Supreme Court heard oral arguments on Monday in a major electronic surveillance case. Lower courts have divided over how to balance concerns about Fourth Amendment privacy with police investigations in the digital age. The case focuses on the use of geofence warrants, which allow law enforcement to secure from third parties anonymized location data for every electronic device in a specific area and time frame. Critics say these searches present an unconstitutional dragnet of data belonging mostly to innocent bystanders. Proponents say they can be tailored in a constitutional fashion. Also, the United Arab Emirates held a mass wedding for 300 couples in Gaza. The ceremony was held in Dar Abala, a city in the central Gaza Strip, on April 24th. As part of the UAE's Gallant Night 3 humanitarian campaign, couples were selected from nearly 2,000 applicants. It follows a mass wedding for 54 couples in Khan Yunis in December. One bride described Friday's event as bringing hope for change for displaced families. The weddings come as a fragile ceasefire holds following more than 2 years of conflict. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. In 2025, in a notable shift, right-wing extremism was no longer the main driver of political violence in the United States. Violent rhetoric and action seems to be rising against President Donald Trump, his administration, and even corporate America. Our story explores why. Simon Montlake, Sophie Hills, Patrick Johnson, and Cameron Pugh report for The Monitor. The Supreme Court will hear arguments Wednesday in a case about the government's decision to end protections from deportation for hundreds of thousands of Haitians and Syrians living in the United States. The Trump administration says that its decisions on the subject cannot be reviewed by courts, but immigrant advocates argue that the administration's move could send the immigrants back to two of the world's most dangerous countries. Sarah Matusik reports for The Monitor. Some corners of the MAGA movement are questioning official accounts of two suspected assassination attempts on President Donald Trump, despite a range of video and forensic evidence. Experts see several factors enhancing the appeal of conspiracy theories, from political discontent to distrust in mainstream media. Story Hinckley reports for The Monitor. In India, a group that advocates for Muslim women finds itself caught in the crossfire of the broader debate over a uniform civil code, a sweeping reform that could redefine India's approach to religious liberty. Contributor Kanika Gupta reports from Mumbai, India for The Monitor. Ukraine's cultural institutions aren't just casualties of the Russian invasion of the country. They're deliberate targets of the Kremlin's campaign. That has made the security and eventual restoration of the cultural cache a priority for museums in Ukraine. Contributor Kong Chung Chung reports from Odessa, Ukraine for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a vote of liberty amid Gaza's ashes. One mark of a maturing democracy is a high proportion of independent voters, unbeholden to organized factions and attuned to unifying a civic community on shared hopes. In the Middle East, such sentiments have risen in recent years, from Iraq to Lebanon, and perhaps soon in a newly liberated Syria. But in Gaza, after 2 years of devastating war, on Saturday, in an election held for the first time anywhere in Gaza in nearly two decades, voters showed a surprising degree of autonomy from the two major Palestinian parties. Balloting was held in only one city, Dar al-Bala, with more than 70,000 people, due to every other city in Gaza being flattened during the fighting after the 2023 Hamas attack on Israel. And voting was only for 15 seats in the municipal council. In preliminary results, a list of candidates perceived as being Hamas-aligned won only two seats, while a list loosely aligned with the Fatah party of the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank won only six. The majority of seats went to two independent Gaza-based groups, Future of Dar al-Bala and Peace and Construction. One young Palestinian voter told Le Monde that she wanted a change in governance. "We want to make our voices heard to start a new life," said Sumeya Abu Obeid. The leader of the Peace and Construction list of candidates, Mohammed Abu Nasser, told the New Arab that the focus is on practical governance. "This stage requires solutions far from political polarization," he said. "We are relying on expertise to address accumulated service failures." The one-city balloting in Gaza was a pilot run organized by the Palestinian Authority, which also ran municipal elections in the West Bank on April 25th. The main purpose of the elections, Rami Hamdallah, chair of the Ramallah-based Central Election Commission, told journalists, is to send a political message that national unity is possible. The future of Gaza is still unclear after a ceasefire took effect in October. But if this one election reflects a shift among Palestinians away from Hamas-like confrontation, it was also a shift toward consensus-based governing focused on rebuilding of both the bombed-out structures of Gaza and a war-torn society seeking reconciliation. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, in the divine mind, we find clear answers to our questions and provision for our needs. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/CS Perspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.